Welcome to this Mixed Sunday Morning Podcast. Listen to the full 3-hour morning show Sundays starting at 8 on Mix 106.5.
Good morning. It is Sunday, September 21st, 2025. I'm Shaw Gage. It's Mixed Sunday Morning. Glad you're with us this morning. Going to have some fun. I've got a good friend of mine, known for a long time. Gary Miller is with us. Just an old friend. We've reconnected, from time to time. We talk pretty regularly, but we reconnected this week and just, Lord laid it on my heart. I said, Gary, why don't you come on the show? Let's just talk about life and what's going on and where you are and where I am and just share some insights with the audience. So glad you are listening. Gary, glad to have you this morning. Appreciate you being on this morning.
Yeah, man. It seems like you and I have missed each other's calls the last 3 to 4 weeks. And needless to say, over the last 2 or 3 weeks, there's a lot going on, you know?
Oh, yeah, there absolutely is. And I find it really cool how God just works and bringing people together. And a lot of the conversation we're going to be talking about is exactly that, is just bringing people together and reconnecting and just standing up for Jesus and sharing that love. But we're going to be talking with Gary, hanging out this morning. Glad you're listening and hope you're blessed this morning and hope you're doing all right. And look forward to hanging out with Gary. We'll be back here in just a little bit talking with Gary. Back with you on Mixed Sunday Morning. Shaw Gage hanging out with you this morning, talking to my good friend Gary Miller. I've known Gary a long time, and we just reconnected this week and just thought it'd be a good opportunity in the craziness we've had going on in our world just to get together and two men having a conversation, and just felt led to ask Gary to come on the show, and so thankful he did. But verse we were talking about earlier today, Gary and I, was John 16:33, and Jesus is speaking, and he said this, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world, you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And, you know, just a great reminder, y'all, of who Jesus is and the peace that we can have in him. And Gary and I were talking earlier and just, you know, how that scripture has impacted us both as believers. But, you know, Gary, you were sharing just kind of some of the stuff. You know, again, we've all been going through the craziness of world events, and specifically in the last week and a half, but just how we deal with what's going on and who Jesus is in relation to that.
It's crazy, Shaw, because you really start thinking, and it's really hadn't even been 10 days. It's been basically what, eight and a half days since our world turned upside down. And that word peace begins to be such a deeper meaning, than we can even talk about. You and I were talking about how, I guess last week when our world was so interrupted with turmoil, and this did seem completely different. I don't know if you felt like that. Maybe it was just the in your face type of vulgarity, or I don't know, what do you call that with all that went down?
Well, it's just
vile.
Yeah, vileness, evil. Evil. I mean, it's pure and simple is what it is. And, you know, it's truly good versus evil. And, yes, to answer your question, yes, I did feel that way. And I still feel that way. And it's just, you know, I don't care anybody's beliefs are different than mine. I'm not trying to make people believe what I believe, but we've got to be able to have those conversations and be able to have our opinions and not be shot in the throat on Twitter and for all the next generations to see. And it's just disgusting and it's horrible. And we talked last week on the show about how we're coming together. And I think it's so cool that the Lord brought you and I together because we started talking about this word peace. And that's what we need in this world. We're never going to defeat evil. There's only one that will, and that's Jesus Christ upon his return.
You know, it's so crazy. There's moments in all of our lives, like I can remember distinctively four or five years old when John F. Kennedy got shot, but I just remember the hysteria that went on, and it was just a different thing that stuck in my mind forever. And I truly believe that this is exactly one of those times, that future will lean to. I think we were, I don't know if I told you this, but I've got a, you know, I'm in the heavy equipment business, and I do equipment rental and sales for a big company here in Nashville. But one of my best customers is he's a tough guy, man. He owns a big steel company here. He's had his struggles the last probably 3 to 4 months in several areas of his life, and I never know exactly. Being brought up in church and everything, you would think I'd have all the answers, and I have no answers. And it's one of the most perplexing things when you know what the truth, and you're trying so hard to communicate that. And when this guy called me last week, I guess, he immediately, and he struggled with alcoholism and all that, but he immediately said, "Gary, pull over wherever you're at right now, and I want you to pray for Charlie Kirk immediately."
Wow.
And still got me, buddy. Mm. So this is up.
Well, no, man, you're good. I mean, I think, listen, this is real, man. And that's we all feel that way. And I think I read it best last week. Somebody hit a post out there and said, if you felt, Gary, what you're feeling right now, what I'm feeling right now, and that pit in your stomach and that gulp in your throat, congratulations, you're a part of the body of Christ. And we all should have taken that heart. It was very tragic. And just the fact that this guy's reached out to you is major.
Yeah, so Rich is one of the toughest guys I know. Very smart. He's old school iron worker. Has owned his own company for about 8 years. But he had told me how Charlie Kirk had led him into really a better understanding of the Bible. And he kept saying, I don't agree with everything, but I agree with 90% of what he said. And it's just killing me, Gary. I can't lose Charlie Kirk. I cannot lose Charlie Kirk. And sure enough, I did pull over. And, I think we all know the outcome. But it's pretty amazing that young man at 31 years old had that big of impact on so many of us.
Oh, man. So,
big deal.
Yeah, so true. And what a legacy he's left. We obviously hated to lose a man like that in this day and age, who stood up for what he believed in and spoke about his faith in his Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, and ultimately was killed for that. And, it's been a wake-up call for a lot of us going, well, I believe in Jesus Christ, and I have my faith in him as my Lord and Savior, but I'm not telling people, you got to believe exactly what I believe, but you better know what you believe in, and you better start living life and living your life for that. Otherwise, what are we doing? But, man, Gary, and look, we're gonna continue to unpack that. We got to go to the other side, pay some bills here, but we'll be back just here in a few minutes, and we're going to continue talking with my good friend Gary Miller here on Mix Sunday Morning. Hanging out with Mr. Gary Miller from Nashville, Tennessee. I've known Gary a long time, and Gary, just been reflecting back. You know, you and I do a good job. I'm in Birmingham now, and you're in Nashville, and thank goodness for cell phones, because we keep up on a fairly regular basis. But, man, the Lord just brought us together this week, and I appreciate you coming on and sharing your heart. And, you know, last segment we were talking about your buddy Rich and how he just, you know, like all of us, we're all trying to figure this thing out called life. And some of us, you know, maybe or may not have accepted the Lord or made that commitment to the Lord and may not know a whole lot about God or church or Jesus or grace, which is the main thing. But the fact that this man, Charlie Kirk, impacted his life in such a major way is really cool. And I've heard a lot of those stories in the last week and a half, how Charlie Kirk impacted so many people. But to me, Gary, what's really cool is this guy reached out to you as one of the first people. Like, Charlie Kirk had been shot and was on his way to the hospital, and he's calling you in a panic and go, "Gary, man, I don't know much about prayer and I don't know much about Jesus, but, like, you know, pray, pray, pray." And he knew that about you. So that speaks volumes to who you are in God. And just, man, I just think that's so amazing, because God uses us.
Well, it's so crazy. You and I have spoken about this a million times, but And it's number one on your heart and my heart too, is how do we communicate? We know everything as far as how God blesses us, and we know He can bring peace. I mean, we read about it over and over and over, and we know Him. How do you communicate that in a normal work setting? I shared with you a little bit about what my goals are over the next few months to get better at turning my work life and my job thing into a more of a ministry, and trying to encourage some of the young people that we're around, and Satan is there every minute of the way. It happened to me this morning. I was determined at 5:30 or 6, man, I'm going to be the greatest example in the world, and a couple of them within about an hour had kind of got my blood boiling, and it really was nothing they did, except I'm kind of a workaholic, so when other people are off, I'm kind of going, wait a minute, it's Friday, it's a work day, I wish, you know, and so, but within about an hour, it took me right back, Shaw. You know what I'm talking about.
Oh, yeah.
As far as we always go back into that timeline when we're in those mid-20s and, you know, we're trying to conquer the world. And so really it taught me more to chill out. It's going to be fine. We're going to make it through Friday. There's a few gaps. You're not going to get upset with these guys. And so within about, probably it took me 40 minutes to an hour, I was back to cutting up with them. And I knew they were probably, I knew they were playing golf, to be quite honest. And here's old Gary trying to hold the fort down. But really and truly, what I set out to do this morning was to be the greatest example I could to those kids. And what I almost did was rain on their parade and ruin their, not only ruin their half a day of golf, but, you know, they're close friends. And so anyway, I guess my point is the devil is after us every step of the way to not be a good leader, not be a good example, if that makes any sense.
Oh, it totally does. And that's, you know, we talked about it last week on the show, and Matt, like, you know, and I think I mentioned it earlier on this one, but, you know, this is good versus evil. And that's pure and simple. Yeah. I mean, it's not CNN's fault, Fox News, Donald Trump, Joe Biden. I mean, I don't care who your political affiliation is. I don't care your sexual orientation. I don't care what color, race, mix, creed. I don't care about any of that. All I care about is just saying, hey, Jesus loves you and it's going to be okay. Yeah. We've all been through hardships. We're all doing this thing called life together, and anybody that thinks they have it figured out, I just, you know, they don't, because nobody knows everything. And so that's, to me, yeah. Gary, like you're talking about, we got to be there. And it's so cool how God stopped you in that moment this morning, because, you know, you could have been a bad example to those young sales guys, and you could have made that situation pretty rough, but God stopped you and said, no, you're not going to treat it like that. And that's the maturity of a Christian man, and that's what we got to do a better job of. And I had a couple instances, those happened all the time. I had that happen to me as well this week, but it's the fact that we got to listen, right? I was talking to my son, yeah. Sam. We had a really good conversation yesterday morning, and it was really more directed at myself, but I said, son, we have lost our ability in this country to listen for understanding. We are listening to react. And social media has had a large part of that, and instantaneous society, and we can go into a lot of different rabbit holes on that. But, you know, it's really just, you know, you get down to it, we all want our own way. And, you know, when you think about it, I'm not picking on you, but since that's a fresh example, you got there, found out these guys were playing golf, and you got your feelings hurt. And you weren't, yeah, like, well, I'm not. Why are they doing that? And I'm here working, and I do that all the time. So, but that's the flesh, right? And that's where the flesh is it fights against the Holy Spirit. And that's the wrestling match that we have as believers in our hearts every day. Who is Lord of our life? Is it us? Is it that golf match? Is it that new house? Is it that bank account? Is it Auburn football? I mean, that's who I cheer for. But, you know, is it sports? Yeah. Is it whatever? Or is it Jesus Christ? And he's the Lord of our life. Yeah. And we allow that Holy Spirit to invade our hearts and to change us from the inside out. And, man, I just appreciate you, Gary, and what you're doing up there in Nashville. Hey, we got to take a break here real quick, but we're going to be back more with Gary. So thankful you're here, man. Gary, I love you, man. I appreciate you being on this morning.
Yeah. Same here, bro.
Cool. Hey, we'll be back next Sunday morning. Back with you on Mixed Sunday Morning. Shaw Gage hanging out with you. Appreciate you being on. I'm with my good friend Gary Miller out of Nashville, Tennessee. I've known Gary a long time and just been catching up here recently just about the events in our world. And as Gary and I were off air between breaks here, he was just sharing something that, man, God's literally just, you know, kind of hitting you with something right now. Would you mind sharing that with us?
You know, we keep looking at John 16:33, where it's talking about peace and how important peace. And it's so easy for us to go, man, everybody wants peace. We all want peace. And right here, and it boldly just says that in me, you can have peace. So you can have peace through Christ. And, but I think it's, golly, I mean, I've read that a million times, but you got to see that in me, you have peace. So, he's telling you the formula to have peace right there in him.
Absolutely. And that's, you know, and people, when students used to ask me, well, how do I do that, right? I literally had one call me this week on Wednesday evening as I was driving home from work, and we had some pretty deep conversations. And he goes, Coach, like, I just don't know how to process all this and what's happening with Charlie Kirk. And, he goes, this world is just getting crazy, and I just wanted your insights. And I was like, man, it's all about a relationship with Jesus Christ, and it's that peace, right? And I said, that's the only way.
Yeah.
I can get through things, and as Christians, that's what we're supposed to rely on. Now, look, we're supposed to rely on them for everything, not just the hard times, I mean, but definitely in these times. And right. So just think it's so critical. I mean, we know that, and you know that, you know, Gary, as we're sitting here talking about that our peace comes through Jesus Christ. And
yeah,
if we trust in him, we can have that peace. But if we don't trust in him, we can have that peace. We cannot have that peace, right? And so you know, it just kind of goes, we got to share that with people, and we got to be bold. And again, I'm not talking about revenge. I'm not talking about attacking anybody or trying to argue with anybody. I'm just trying to say, hey, man, if you're hurting, if you're scared, if you're mad, if you've got all these emotions that are going on, and look, these emotions have been going on for a long time. Charlie Kirk assassination just kind of put it over the top for a lot of people. But how do we process that as human beings? And like, I can tell you how I process it is I put my hope and faith and trust in Jesus Christ, and he gives me that peace. And when I try to take it over, I mess it up. But when I just let go and let God, he blesses it in a major way, and I do have that peace. Do you find that to be the case in your life?
Yeah, we make everything so difficult, Shaw, and maybe it's human nature, I don't know, but when you break things down and really realize that he's given you the formula right here in, what, 5 or 6 words, how to have peace, and I don't know of it. Do you know of anybody that does not want peace?
Man, no.
I'm just trying to.
Yeah, I mean, go ahead.
You know, I'm just saying that's a big, big deal. I read this 3 times probably in the last week, but it didn't hit me like it's doing right now. As far as that's what everybody wants is peace. They want peace. They want love. You stop about right there and you've got 90% of the world licked. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man, absolutely. Well, here's, you know, something, and it says there, too, because you're going to have tribulation right after that. He says, you know, you're going to have tribulation. You're going to have trials, and you're going to have bad things happen, like what's happening right now in our world. But be of good cheer. That means stay in a positive mood. Don't lose heart, right? I mean, we got to stay focused, and we got to make sure, because he says the last part of that verse is, I, being Jesus, have overcome the world. And so with that, I mean, and everything that's going on, like, man, we can get distracted, and we can get so wrapped up in the craziest things, but at the end of the day, it's Jesus, it's Jesus, it's Jesus, and it's his grace. And we don't deserve it, and we can't buy it, and we can't earn it. All we can do is receive it as a gift.
Yeah, I got going down those trails again with Charlie Kirk last night, but one thing I did listen to was his mentor that was there. Basically said, without a shadow of a doubt, within 10 seconds when they put him in that vehicle, that he was already gone. He was looking, staring into eternity at that point. And so I guess what I'm saying is we all try to do what we do to make it to heaven, as weird as that sounds. We all try to go, man, there's a better life after this. We all try to go, boy, there's a better home waiting. And but do we really believe it? Because Charlie Kirk's mentor said, he said, let me tell you, that man was at so much peace because his eyes were focused on eternity. He wasn't here by the time we got him in that vehicle. That's before they even left. So, once again, it's, will we ever understand it? Probably not. We probably won't understand this in 10 years or 20 years. But I can promise you he does. And I can promise you that that reunion, I know you've seen some of the pictures and stuff, but boy, it really, when you know that man has served the Lord and he got to go meet him very quickly, that can bring, it's sad, but it brings peace also to know there's no doubt where that guy's at, you know?
Oh, 100%. And y'all, that's what it's all about. I mean, that's all that matters. At the end of the day, we all have an expiration date, and we're all going to meet Jesus. And he's going to look at us and go, what did you do with what I gave you? And if you can't say, Lord, I gave it to you, and I trusted you with my salvation, then I don't want to know what that answer would be, but I know what it is to have faith in Jesus Christ. And, I was sharing with you, Gary, over the last week or so, that it was just like, you know, I've always said I would die for my wife and my kids, and I believe that, and I think my students, and but until you're faced with that, I don't know, you know, that you could honestly answer until it happened. But with Charlie Kirk's death, it just put to me, man, there's a guy that stood up for his faith and was not afraid. I don't believe he was argumentative. I think he just challenged the young people of today to say, hey, what do you believe in, and why do you believe in it? And if you don't know why you believe in something, well, don't believe it. Go research it. And that's what I've always tried to say is, look, you don't have the same relationship with Christ that I do. Nobody does. I mean, you have your own personal relationship with Jesus Christ, just like I have my own individual relationship with you. We've known each other for 20 plus years. And, nobody can replicate your and I's relationship. And it's the same thing with the Lord. We all have a little bit different way. So I'm not asking you to believe what I believe. I just think, man, if you don't know what you believe, go search it out and go find out. And then live your life for it, you know?
Here's the crazy part. Even at my age, and I'm older, but I'm not going to tell you how old I am, but, but isn't it crazy that I can push a restart button at 2:29 p.m. today, and no matter what I've done or what I've not done or left undone or all those things you hear, I get a brand new fresh start. As soon as when we get done, I can push a restart button, and God goes, "Hey, Gary, you're clean. You're good." That's a pretty cool
benefit to being a Christian, right? You know,
benefit, yeah. I couldn't pick the words.
Absolutely, yeah. No, I think you're spot. No, I think you're spot on, and that's where that peace comes from, is knowing that. But hey, look, we got to step aside for a minute. We're going to come back, pick it back up with Gary. So thankful he's here this morning, and we'll be back here in just a few on Mix Sunday Morning. Thank you for being a part of the show this morning. Hope you're enjoying the conversation. We're talking about John 16:33. I've got my good friend Gary Miller on with us this morning, and he brought up this verse, John 16:33, and it says again, "These things I have spoken to you," Jesus, this is Jesus speaking, "that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer. I have overcome the world." And we've talked about this so far this morning, but I wanted to focus on something in this segment, the be of good cheer. That's important. I think attitude is everything, whether it's heartache or health diagnosis or job loss or tragic assassination last week. I mean, I think, yeah, there's a time to mourn, but we also have to take heart and be of good cheer. And Gary, my friend who's on with us this morning, he's done just a great job of that. I mean, we've known each other for 24 years, I don't even know how long, longer than, you know, we're not that old, Gary, but nonetheless.
No, it's probably 30 years, though.
And we're only 28, you know, how does that work? I'm kidding.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's right. But Gary, look, I want to share this with everybody, and just I thank Gary. But when I was in my darkest of darks and my lowest of lows, going through my cancer journey, you guys know that have heard the show. I went through 13 years ago, nearly cancer diagnosis, and had chemotherapy, radiation, and then a stem cell transplant. And man, I remember being at Vanderbilt Hospital, and I was just in a funk, and I didn't feel good. I was sick. I was going through all these treatments. I was tired. I was irritable, and just anything you can imagine. I was not in a good spot. I mean, I was in a good spot, but you know what I'm saying? I just didn't feel good. And man, I got this knock on the door in my hospital room, and I said, "Come on in," expecting another nurse or a doctor to ask me a million more questions and to poke and prod. But I turned and looked. There came Gary walking through the door, and man, it just changed my whole attitude. And so, Gary, I've told you this before, but man, I really appreciate that. I thank you for that. And as the body of Christ, that's the kind of stuff we've got to do for each other. So thank you for showing up when I needed you most. And, man, I just appreciate that more than you know.
And it the crazy part is I probably got 100% more out of that than I ever did. And you heard me talk about my 95-year-old mother, you know, that just passed away a year and 2 months ago. I think somewhere around July 18th. Anyway, she mastered that. And here recently with the negativity and the stress of this and stress of that, her voice, you know how you keep hearing this voice come back? And her voice, literally, from the time she was 65 years old until 95, was the most encouraging. She just didn't have a bad day. And I know she did have a bad day, but her famous statement was, "Gary, this too will pass." And it didn't matter what you were going through. And she was going to bring that joy. And I pray every day that somehow we can all be more like that, because the world is a little bit colder since she passed away, because there was just not a bad day in her bone. But you're like that too. I mean, I look forward to your call the same way.
Man, right on. Well, I think, you know, we've got to do a better job of promoting that. And I've been talking to people in the last few weeks, and just specifically in the last 8 or 9 days, but just, you know, that's who we are as the body of Christ, and it's our time. You know, we're the older generation, or getting to be the older generation, and it's time for us to pick up that mantle and run with it. And we got to be the ones to encourage, and we got to be the ones to build up, and we've got to be the ones to be bold in our faith and to be a positive influence and to help the younger people understand understand, hey, this is how, you know, it's worked, and this is the good things, and these are the bad things. And again, I'm not forcing you to believe anything I do, but let me just give you a word of encouragement and just try to put a smile on your face. And Gary, you know, we are very similar. Gary and I like good jokes. We like to laugh. We like to cut up. We almost couldn't work together because we like to have too much fun. But man, if you don't have somebody like that in your life, man, go find somebody like Gary and Shaw, and just, you know, that friendship that we have, it just makes life better. Because, you know, whatever you're going through, man, life's tough and it's hard. And I'm not making light of it, but we've all been through heavy stuff. But, man, sometimes you just need a friend that you can call and you can laugh. And, man, he's one of those guys, like I said, that it's hard to get me to laugh to the point where my ribs are hurting. But you've done that multiple times. And not only that, you're just a faithful follower of Jesus Christ. And, man, you're bold in that. And, man, you're you know, also sharing your heart, and you're just a genuine dude, and I appreciate that about you.
Sean, I'm same way. Isn't it crazy? We never get off the phone that we don't laugh.
Oh yeah.
When you said that, I went, wow, that's the truth. But it's mainly because of your impersonations, and you know, do you share those ever on the radio or not?
Well, I haven't, but Mr. Gorbachev, tear down that wall. So there you go, everybody. So, yeah, we have some fun with those.
We know it works.
Listen, Gary and I have a very similar mindset or heart set when it comes to that, and I tell my wife and kids all the time. They go, Dad, that is the silliest, stupidest thing I've ever heard. I said, yeah, but you got a smile on your face while you're telling me that, so that's all that matters to me, baby. So, hey, keep on smiling, everybody. We're going to be back here in just a few minutes. Continue on our conversation with Gary Miller. So thankful you're part of the show on this mixed Sunday morning. Just hanging out with Gary Miller, my good friend from Nashville, Tennessee. Gary, thanks again, man. Appreciate you being on the show today.
Yeah, man. Love catching up. And what's it been, 3 or 4 weeks since we've even caught up with each other, something
yeah,
like that?
Yeah, probably so. I mean, it's you know, I was sharing with a guy the other day, a student called me. I think I might have referenced this earlier, but former student of mine called me from Tennessee and just said, Coach, I just wanted to check on you, see how everything was going, what you thought about everything since last Wednesday. And we just had a conversation, and it was really cool because we got into talking about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, which is all that matters. I mean, that's, you know, if you talk to him on a regular basis, you know, that's what mature believers do. And I told this young man, I said, hey, you know, it's a lot like our relationship. I said, when we were at school together, you know, and you were in my class and, you know, on the ball field and all that kind of stuff, we were together, man. We knew each other pretty well. We had a pretty tight relationship for a student and a teacher, right? And he said, yeah, we did. And I said, now 9 years later, since I've been out of the teaching and back in sales in another state, moved my family a while back. And, you know, I just said, we still have a relationship, right? And it's once every couple of years we talk, you know, on average. And everybody just grows apart and you get different circles, and we all understand that. But I explained to him, I said, man, it's a lot like our relationship with Christ, right? When you have a constant conversation through reading your Bible and praying, when you have that constant conversation with the Lord, you're going to have a pretty tight relationship. And you can go a couple of years without talking to him, just like my student and I did. And look, when we pick up the phone on either end, we're going to pick it right back up where we left off. And God's going to do the same. He's always going to take your call. But if you're only talking every couple of years or every couple of months or whatever it may be, that relationship is still a relationship, but it's not as deep as it could be. And he goes, Coach, I've never really thought about that. And just super cool, man. The Lord laid that out, that opportunity to talk to the young man on Wednesday evening of this past week. And, man, I'm not saying anything about me. I'm saying everything about God. But that young man prayed to receive Christ on the phone Wednesday night, and I was sitting in a Chick-fil-A parking lot just going, God, use me in this situation. And so super cool, but just great perspective there as far as that goes, you know. And Gary, I know we've been talking about John 16:33, and in the end of that, it says, you know, Jesus is talking. He says, be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. And I wanted to talk about that last part of that verse, I have overcome the world. And, you know, what does that mean to you?
You know, don't you feel like it's talking about the sins of the world, or
absolutely,
or do you read that another way?
No, I absolutely do. He conquered death, right? He's conquered this world already. I mean, we've got to live it out.
Yeah.
And we've got to continue to shine his light for the people in this world, so they avoid the darkness, right? And but I think he's saying there, yeah, absolutely. I've paid the price. The battle is won. And as we talked earlier, you know, this is all the stuff that's going on, from Charlie Kirk to the poor girl getting stabbed in the train and all that. I mean, it's just, and I had a good friend, customer, lost his wife a week and a half ago to Alzheimer's. And so there's heartache, there's strife, there's just dissension and unrest in our world. But he's telling us in this, in John 16:33, Jesus is telling us that we can have peace, and we can know that we can have peace, and it's all through him. And he tells us right there, he's overcome the world. He's already paid the price. He's already done it, because he laid down his life for us, lived a sinless life, gave his life up on the cross, and died an excruciatingly painful death so that you and me and every other believer out there could experience eternity with him.
Right. Yeah, it's almost overwhelming at times. And the older you get, the more you get overwhelmed. And I don't know, I find it easier to pray now. But as you get older, do you find it simpler and easier to pray without ceasing?
I do. I find more to pray about. I find more opportunities to pray, because you obviously have more experiences and you look at things a little bit different the older you get. But the bottom line is just right, having prayer, right? And just being in that prayer for spirit. And here's one for you. I've got a guy, a friend of mine, he's in seminary right now, and he was sharing something with me. One of the classes he's taking was in prayer, and he sent me an article to read, and I read this, and it talked about getting on your knees to pray. And I was like, it's uncomfortable, though, but that was my first, just confessing that or being honest, that was my first thought. Man, my knees are bad, right? I played catcher in high school. You know, it's hard to get down, and getting back up's the hardest part, right? But I went on to read this article, and it was really insightful. And I was like, you know, when we humble ourselves before the Lord and we get on our knees, you know, we are putting ourselves in proper perspective with the Creator of the universe. We're bowing down before him, and it's a physical gesture of submission and humility to get on your knees. And, you know, your focus is down on the floor, right? And it's not around the room and a TV or a window or any of that. When you're on your knees, your head is bowed and you're on the floor. And it just brings you to that focal point of your relationship, or in relation who we are to in relation to who God is. And I just thought that was really cool.
Yeah. See, I've never done that. And I'm not going to say I've never done it, but I haven't made a practice. But you better believe I will do it this evening, because it's like, that's, I get it. That's a whole different perspective.
It really is. And look, I'm not preaching to anybody. I'm not trying to tell anybody what to do. I'm just revealing what God's laid on my heart. And it's time for us. Look, if you're not in church, get in church. If you don't pray, pray. If you don't get on your knees and pray, get on your knees and pray, y'all. That's what's going to help us in this world. We're not going to defeat the evil. Only Jesus Christ is going to do that. But he is going to do that. That's the good news, because it tells us right there, I have overcome the world. Jesus tells us in John 16:33. So we got to hang tight. We got to stand in the gap. And we got to pray. And we guess, look, specifically, I'm calling out men. We did last week. But I'm calling the men in this country and in this world to stand up and be bold. Again, it's not violence. It's not revenge. It's not that. But be bold in your faith for Jesus Christ. And just share that with people. And be an encouragement. And, you know, just try to help this world be a better place. So, Gary, man, I appreciate you. We're going to be back here in the next segment, wrapping it up with my good friend Gary. But, Gary, thanks again, man. We appreciate you being on this morning.
Absolutely.
Cool. We'll be back here on the other side. We were just talking off air as we were about to come back on, and just, you know, talking about, you know, as our jobs, Gary and I both have sales jobs, and you know, what is our job description versus our job title? And Gary, we were just talking, hey, it doesn't really matter what your job title is, who signs your paycheck, but our job description, you know, is the same, and that's to impact the kingdom, right? I believe we're all in mission field. I believe we all have an opportunity. And look, we have to sell for our companies. We have to do our day-to-day jobs wherever that may be, but we should also be looking as our at our customers and our coworkers and all those opportunities we have at our nine-to-five jobs as an opportunity to for the mission field, right?
Yeah, we were talking about how we probably put too much pressure on ourselves to say the exact godly thing to somebody that you really don't know, when really all they might need is, I know I had a guy today that I could tell he was down a little bit. And just by grabbing his shoulder and saying, man, are you okay? And him confiding what he was going through, which was some pretty deep stuff. It opened better opportunity to either pray for him or just say, hey, I'm with you, or God is with you. You're good at that, Sean. You do a fantastic job at that. But I guess what I'm saying is we beat ourselves up because we're not. We don't know if we're communicating the scripture to people when really they might not need the scripture at that moment. They need a hand on the shoulder or somebody that is just truly focused on them without anything in return.
Well, yeah, exactly. And it's that encouragement. And the Lord blessed me with that ability to just encourage. And it's just, again, it's Him. I just committed years ago and told God yes, and I believe that's what He's looking for, is just people that'll say yes. And man, sometimes we don't know what we're doing or where we're going, but it's that trust and that's that faith that we have in Him, that He is there and that He is the peace and that He has overcome the world. And God gave me that peace years ago, and it's not always been easy, but when you see it happen time after time after time again, and you know that, man, whether it be a job loss or a death in the family or a cancer diagnosis or whatever it may be, that you do have peace when you lean into Him with everything that you have. And you know, that's what it's all about, is just trusting Him and encouraging others in our faith for the faith. And we've got a tremendous opportunity right now in this world. There's a lot of hurt, there's a lot of angst, there's a lot of unrest politically, socially, however you want to call it. But y'all, we got to come together and have the conversations. Yeah. And just iron sharpens iron, so one man sharpens another. And that's what we've got to do, is build each other up and encourage one another and just pray for one another. Again, you know, we got to get together in church. We can't forsake that. And you know, I know we're all guilty of it, but social media, I think, has a large part of this, and we could go down that rabbit hole a million different ways. But at the end of the day, I was convicted of this the other night, sitting in my home with my wife and two of my sons, and we sat there all together, and everybody was on their phone and didn't say a word for close to an hour. And it was like, man, what are we doing? You know, can we put these down for a minute? I know we're all connected, and we've got work and school and all these different things, texts and friends, and we've got to be able to communicate. But at the end of the day, what if we all took one day? I heard somebody say this week. What if we all took one day of the week and just put your phone down? Just one day. Could you do it? Look, don't, if you're an emergency responder or something like that, somebody's waiting on your call, please don't. But, just a good perspective change, you know, think about that. And I challenge myself, and I challenge anybody listening. Could you put your phone down for 24 hours? And if you can't, it may be a problem. So, again, not to pick on social media or phones or all that, but, man, we just got to be a little more in tune. We got to be a little more aware, and, we got to be a little more bold. And I think that's what it comes down to. And I think when we're bold in Jesus Christ, I believe He blesses that. And Gary, you've certainly done that many times that I've seen, you know, you in action in life, and just your heart and that you have for other people. So I appreciate that about you.
Listen, I learned it from you. How about that?
Yeah, so, I hear you.
So that was easy.
Well,
yeah, it's so funny. I just looked through my phone, and my sweet little wife, Jess, has set four alarms in the evening from about 6:45 to 7:45, and it says, "Be present, stay off iPad." So, we got to realize 6 to 7, 8 years ago, we weren't doing social media and that kind of stuff the way we were doing it now. Mm-hmm. We were more engaged, and I think when we get it more engaged, not to be confused with Shaw Gage, but engaged.
I like
you
that.
Hear me throw that?
I like
in
that.
There.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah, and then we're probably going to be a whole lot happier. Our relationships will be better.
Yeah, I think that's spot on. So spot on. Well, look, Gary, it's been great catching up with you, man. Thanks for, just being a good friend to me through the years and, always showing up when I needed somebody to talk to or to cry with or whatever it may be. And, man, just in honor of our friendship, I just wanted to have you on, and God just laid that on my heart. And then we connected, and it was just like, okay, it's supposed to be. And, I just appreciate you coming on and sharing your heart with people. And, keep on shining Jesus in your world. In Nashville, Tennessee, and I'm going to keep doing the same thing down here in Birmingham, Alabama, and we'll just keep promoting the name of Jesus Christ and that grace and that love and that mercy that he sacrificed for us. So that's what it's all about.
Yeah. Feelings mutual, Shaw.
Awesome. Hey, thanks for listening this morning. Again, my friend Gary Miller, thanks for being here. Hope you guys have a great rest of your week. And remember, we can't change this world all by ourselves, but it starts one conversation at a time, and it starts with you, and it starts with me. So go make a difference in somebody's life today. God bless you.
Thanks for listening to the Mix Sunday Morning Podcast. If you like what you heard, tell your friends and join us for the full show every Sunday morning from 8 to 11 on Mix 106.5, 98.3 HD2, Mix 106.5 radio.com, the Radio Alabama app, or Alexa-enabled smart speakers. This program is a product of Radio Alabama.